It is the May long weekend, and because of that, there are different faces in the crowd, and many faces that are normally in the crowd are somewhere else. There is a lot to boast about when it comes to the great weather we've had here. I've heard comments like, man, I can't remember it ever being this warm this early, which has been this nice piece after, I can't remember there being this much snow. So we're actually going to be talking about what we boast about this morning. So here's the invitation. We got the next slide with the question here. So we're going to reflect on to boast. To boast is to joyously exult and to have high confidence in something. What do you joyously exult in? Where is the source of your confidence? So turn to your neighbor and reflect on this question to get us started. What do you boast about the most? What do you boast about the most? Take a minute between you. Turn to the person next to you. I'm sure with some interesting reflections, what do you boast about the most? It seems like a kind of superficial question, but at the end, it actually becomes very core. What matters to you the most? Where does your confidence lie? What is the greatest source of strength for you in your life? Growing up in high school, what mattered to me the most was how it was one word, cool. Cool. Was I cool? You know, and it all had to do with, what was going on with the shirt. You know, I had the t-shirt and the button-up shirt that was unbuttoned, and then I had the wave. As you can tell, it's still, you know, I had this blonde wave going on, and, you know, the hair was in place, and what did the girls think of me, and what did my buddies think, and, I was on cloud nine, often coming out of PE. This was a place that was often good for my reputation. People would be talking about me after, and I'd feel good. And same went with, like, if I was hanging out with the right people, and I felt connected to them, that was good for Dave's image. What wasn't good was when, you know, I didn't get invited to that party, or I wasn't allowed to go to that party, or when people said something about me that wasn't a good reflection on me, or if I didn't feel in, those things were actually very crushing because my whole sense of confidence would ebb and flow on Dave's cool factor. This morning, we are talking about what should we boast in the most? We're at the final week of our Set Free series, studying this book of Galatians. What an incredible book it has been. What an incredible book it has been. As we've reflected, reading this letter has changed history. It's influenced the influencers of the Reformation. It's influenced the influencers of the Great Awakening in the 18th century. It has been even bigger than that. It is the Word of God, timeless for all people. It has come into the Holy Scriptures because God has things to tell us. And specifically, we've keyed on this theme. There's this huge theme of enslavement versus freedom. And if you base your life on what you boast in, if you base it on the wrong things, it leads to enslavement. But the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring a freedom that nothing else can. So with that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you on May long weekend. Or even those online listening after, they're coming out, they're engaging with you. Lord, we want to submit ourselves to what you would say to us this morning. We're here, for many reasons, but most of all, we're here to connect with you, to find life in the living God. So we do it. Forgive us for the ways that we have boasted in the wrong things. Lord, speak to our hearts. Guide us. May there be more and more freedom that comes through a connection with you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So I invite you to open your Bibles, if you have one, to Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. We're in the very last section of the letter here. Galatians 6, verses 11 to 18. If you don't have a Bible, we have it on PowerPoint here, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian church, which he had planted in the very first century. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So, there's two verses in this section which really get at summarizing the whole letter for us. So if you haven't been here before and you're here visiting for May Long Weekend, hey, you're in luck. You get the summary version. For us, trying to put it all together, Paul's put it all together in two verses. Do you know which ones they are in this section? Well, as I was reflecting, I was really reflecting on verse 14. And then our staff was bringing out, verse 15, going verses 14 and 15 are so interconnected. What we're really pulling out this morning in reflection on what we boast about is that as Christians, we boast exclusively about the cross. As Christians, we boast exclusively about the cross. Verse 14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul writing. The question is this your experience? I don't know if you call yourself a Christian or if you're here just checking things out. This is a good one to check things out on. There's this sense where this was not Paul's story. This was not his defining expression of who he was till much later in life. But it becomes his story. And as you see in verse 11, he's saying, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. There's this sense where this is a very personal message. If you read the book of Galatians, it's a very personal engagement. This is not a superficial message that's a tag on for life. No, this is at the core of who we are. And again, it comes back to what do we brag about? So he says, the whole issue of the letter was that there was these well-meaning people who called themselves Christians and who said, what you got to do is, yeah, you know, you're saved by grace, but that's not enough. What you got to do is you got to make sure you follow all the Jewish laws and rituals. You got to be circumcised, every one of you, no matter what your nationality. You got to follow the Jewish cleansing rituals. You got to follow each aspect of the law. And then Paul has been writing about these guys, and he's been ticked at the church that he planted. And it's been inappropriately ticked off because he said, you've lost it. You've moved off center. Anytime you add to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you lose the whole thing. There's no such thing as gospel plus. There is no such thing as mixing your own merit with grace. Those things don't mix. They're like oil and water. They don't mix. So he says, so there's this, what he says is about them, he says, they've been trying to just win you. This is what they want to boast about, that you become their disciples. It says, verse 13, and even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their own. So these very people who say, I keep the law, he says, no, you don't. And in fact, as we reflected in this book of Galatians in chapter 3, there's this sense of the law reflects to us that we don't keep it. The law reflects to us that we're not actually good. Now, as a Canadian society, we've moved more and more away from this book. The people who are reading it are becoming less and less. So the people who brag about the cross in our country become less and less. And it's interesting because there is this sense where this threat of Christianity about how we aren't actually good in and of ourselves is becoming less and less. We get said to us, hey, you're a good person, so am I. We all know we have all we're the best of intentions, and whatever you believe is good enough for you. You know, it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. I don't judge people. Unless, that is, you say your view is exclusive, then that's not right, and I judge that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll tolerate as long as you're tolerant, but if you hold a different view, then I'm intolerant of that. This, right in this very book, in Galatians 2, there's this reflection of a spiritual buffet that we Canadians like to have. A mix and matching of a do-it-yourself religion, and that we can kind of boast in our own thoughts, in our own mixing and matching of what I think is true. But he says in Galatians 2:21, he says, I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. When you treat the cross as just another thing, it becomes meaningless. He said, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. If we were good enough in and of ourselves to be good enough to place ourselves before God in eternity, in heaven, then there was absolutely no point of the cross. How ridiculous and foolish God would be to go through this whole ordeal to die on the cross when you could just get there any old way you want. We know, I've heard this expression put to me so many different ways, and at times, there's been times for pushing back, and at times, I just shake my head. I remember at a funeral, and just being like, I don't know that this is the place and time, but this electrician was telling me, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. You know, it's whatever you think is right, and you do it. And I was thinking about his own trade. I was like, how would that go over as an electrician? How does that go over in any way of life? It doesn't really hold up. So why would it hold up in the grandest, in the greatest piece of life of how we interact with the Creator himself? Why would it not matter at all how you treat the Creator? It doesn't matter any old way. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't affect him. You're good enough to be with him. We've reflected on this. There's a contrast, Paul says. The law exposes our brokenness. And Jesus does it with the rich young ruler, where he just keeps giving him more and more law to show how he fails. And that's kind of why the law just keeps showing to show how we fail. And then it points us to what God has done for us on the cross. Paul says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. That doesn't matter. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. So the cross is the crux of the whole thing. And the crux, what's it mean? It means the essential point. What's the essential matter in things? And ironically, the word crux comes from the Latin word crux, which means cross, which points us again to the crux of the matter, the cross. So what does the cross do for us? Well, it's all here in verse 14. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for us. Here's the gospel. Paul has expressed what the core of the gospel is. Very opening section of Galatians. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Verse 1, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. In chapter 2, verse 16, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we've believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ. So our Lord Jesus, not just Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just the Lord Jesus Christ, but our Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified for us, making us right with God for eternity. Second thing that happens is my interests in the world have been crucified. This is all about freedom. So Christ died that we might be free from sin and made right with God. Secondly, our interests in the world have been crucified. He says, my interest in this world has been crucified. Now, this is a profound statement that I think many of us, it hasn't sunk in what this means. It means that we don't need to validate our lives in anything that we do as far as being cool, as far as being acceptable, as far as being good enough, as far as finding your value and your worth. It's already been found. The Son of God has died for you, and all you have to do is respond in faith. And in that, it sets you free. So your interest in the world is crucified. We don't need to find our cool, our acceptance in them. Third component of this verse 14 is the world's interest in me has also died. Now, if you're really centered on being cool at work or cool in your neighborhood, this ain't so cool. Because they are saying, you're not very cool anymore. Because this interest you have in the cross means you're kind of dead to us. You're not sharing the same values that we share. You go to a party and you want to talk about what Jesus has done for you in your life, it's probably not going to interest too many people. You want to talk about the grandioseness of creation and how math and physics all go back to God and the beauty on earth and how it all stems from him. It's like, oh, that's not really what I'm interested in. A lot of the times we see this. If you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, the world's not so interested in following along. But Jesus says, those who give up their life will gain it. Those who try to hold on to their life will lose it. The cross has made us a new creation. Verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. This is really big. And this is the confusing part. And this is where I said, hey, if you're looking at Christianity from the outside in, this is kind of an interesting one to come to. Because If you're looking at Christianity from the outside in, anybody who goes to church is religious, right? We're a bunch of religious people by going to church. But here's the thing. The people who are all about following the rules, the laws, like Paul's saying, who build your life on how good you are and how the clothes you wear, the words that come out of your mouth, how good a person you are, Paul calls those people religious false teachers. That's not what Christianity is about at all. It's not about being religious at all. Paul, you can read about his life if you want to read about it. It's the whole book of Acts. So much of it is about his story. He was a religious person who followed the law to a T, and then he had this personal encounter with God. And he encountered God, and it was a personal thing, and it changed everything for him. It changed his whole heart, so he could be sitting in the chair next to you, and he went from being one person to a completely different set of motivations. He became a new creation. And that's what it's talking about here. You can read more about being a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 as well. Religious people boast about the externals, and the way to change things for a religious person is to change the outside, the externals. So you change from the outside out. That's what it means to change as a religious person. For Christians, a personal encounter means they're changing from the inside out. There's an inner heart change that leads to a whole new set of motivations and then a whole new set of behaviors. And if this happens to us so often in life. You try and go on a diet, you try and be a better person, you try and get your act together in life, you try and stop drinking, try and stop doing drugs, you try to stop, you know, whatever it is you're trying to stop, so often we just focus on the outside out rather than what's the inside. What's my motivation, my inner heart? This is why we've been talking about this grief cycle and grace cycle. If this is new to you, it's a diagram articulating what's going on in this book. So we have it here. This is the cycle of grief. This is the cycle, the grief cycle of a religious person, but it's also the grief cycle of the party crowd. It's the grief cycle of how our world says you find success. So you find it in achievement. We achieve to provide ourselves an identity. Our identity, our sense of significance is dependent on what we achieve, so we push on to drivenness. We're driven to achieve more, to make ourselves acceptable to others and ourselves. And then we find acceptance. This sense of acceptance is temporary and fragile, so we go round the cycle again. Or for those who are going, I just can't make it. I'm not cool enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't have enough money. The other part of the grief cycle is just giving up. It's just sheer depression for the sake of not being able to perform enough in this cycle. And so many of us are doing this mountain climbing of trying to find meaning in life, as we've talked about in this series, and it's just this treadmill of grief. The gospel of Jesus Christ says you get a whole new heart motivation out of this personal encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the grace cycle, it's the same things, but a totally different order. The very first place you start with is acceptance. Grace. The God of the universe has died on your behalf on the cross to make you right with him. You're sustained. What day is it today? It's Pentecost Sunday, the first day of the church. What Jesus promised, the coming of the Holy Spirit to give you what you need for life. We're given the Holy Spirit when we are made right with God through accepting him. We are given resources constantly renewed through dependence on God. We don't live in a world of scarcity. We live in a creation of abundance. And out of that comes an identity, a sense of significance based on who God is and his grace. You might say, based on Christ crucified, I'm a new creation in Christ. We brag about exclusively about the cross. And out of that comes achievement, or another, a Christian word for it is service. Loving, obedient ministry. It's not where our worth is found. It just flows out of us. Because the love that we have experienced is so profound, it just comes out of us. It's a cycle of grace. Tim Keller writes in his commentary in Galatians, a religion based on externals and behavior as a way of salvation may prompt pride and bring popularity, but it can never deliver the eternal life it promises. When it comes to your heart, the heart of your religion is what you boast in. It reveals what you actually worship. Just like I revealed in high school, what all mattered to me was about being cool and gaining acceptance. And anybody who didn't make me look good, such as family members or friends, I ditched, I dropped. The essence of what I worshiped was myself. Now, it was off base, and it actually put me on the grief cycle because I had to keep performing over and over to gain a sense of worth and acceptance. And this, my story is that I had a personal encounter with God at age 19. It changed the total direction of my life. And it's living into the freedom that he's given me as a process. It's been a journey of healing, of being set free from the enslavement of trying to find my worth in the wrong things over and over again. I keep going back. Grief cycle, grace cycle. Grief cycle, grace cycle. But, you know, it's my favorite prayer. Oh, God of second chances, here I am again. You know, look what he's done for us. This is the gospel of grace, and it sets us free. Philippians 3:8, we have it on the PowerPoint here. It's another articulation of these same things. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Next slide. The natural world has ceased to have any claims on us. It's this ordering of affections. When God becomes your greatest affection, there's a freedom. It's an ordering of your fears. When fear of people and fear of circumstances, whatever they are, the uncertainty of this life, become lesser, when you fear not being right, made in right relationship with God, when you're concerned most about not being right with God, all these other things become less important. And it becomes freeing because God's not actually, when you see his love, it's just something that's freeing. It's not someone you need to be afraid of. All you have to do, there is a fear and awe like the power of an ocean wave. But in his beauty, in his majesty, in his love, it's absolutely incredible and freeing. There's lots we could say. Have you seen people's lives changed by this? Have you seen the difference between being a legalistic religious person and someone who has a life embodying grace? I'll tell you, in your heart, there's going to be a lot more bitterness and a lot more criticism when your life is centered on religiousness. When it comes to really getting this, grace and love overflow. We've spent 13 weeks reflecting on this letter to the Galatians as God's letter to us. God desires for you to be set free. I know in my own life, it's a freedom that has come and is still coming, and there's so much more to come when it comes to living into this freedom. And I know it won't fully come until eternity, but God's kingdom is here now, Jesus said, and it's coming still, and we're to live into the kingdom come. So application time. Because of the cross, you're set free. And if we're set free of the cross, a new creature is formed in you, a new creation. What are you going to do with your freedom? What do you do with your freedom? Is it time to binge watch a season on Netflix of your favorite show? Maybe it's just been so crushing, all these weights. Maybe that's part of the process of coming out of it. But we know that that can't be where we land. That the Son of God giving his life for us, there's got to be so much more. Galatians 5:13, as we've reflected earlier, Paul writes to the Galatians, your freedom isn't for just indulging in the pleasures and whims of your desires, but it's meant to serve others. It's right there, Galatians 5:13. He's freeing us to love him and love others, and it's a freedom that just builds and builds on itself. So for some of us, Paul's saying to us, you've been looking at this whole Christianity thing about it being religious, and it's all wrong. If you've been looking at it this way, as if it's all about the center of it's about commandments, it's all wrong. It's about relationship. And maybe there needs to be some repentance on your side about joining in with these false teachers, about saying what the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. Whether you call yourself a Christian or not, this is something for all of us that I think we should feel convicted of ways where we have disregarded the cross. Now, some of us, there's just got to be this sense of awe. Look at what God has done for me, and a thankfulness. It's only appropriate. And you're here, and there's this sense of worship that just is to exude out of us as we reflect on that. As a church, we've been revisioning. We revisioned in the fall, and we got these major pieces of our church vision. It's written on your bulletin. Follow, equip, share. We've centered in on these three expressions. Moving forward as a church, we sense God directing us to be following Jesus, equipping each other, and sharing God's love. So in the fall, we want to provide an opportunity to live into this more. People from the outside say, Christianity is all about organized religion, and I'm not into that. Well, we invite the community and the church into a community night where we eat together, and then we're gonna break off into two different sections. One section is gonna be all about what following Jesus looks like, and it's meant for people like yourself who may be exploring Christianity, or it's meant for your friends who this might give them a whole sense of what Christianity is about. We're going to be running an Alpha series. We're going to be having food together and then running Alpha. The second piece is we're going to be running this new to us as well, this ministry called Freedom Session. It's about being set free in new ways. It's about being exposed to the gospel in new ways. It's a 27-week series. It's about bringing emotional, spiritual healing. I asked you a question earlier to reflect on. Here's your other one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how free are you spiritually? A scale of 1 to 10, how free are you spiritually? What would you say your answer is? 10 on, I'd say 10 on a what Jesus has done for us level, but on a sense of fully getting the gospel, I think there's a sense where we need to grow into it more. And this ministry is a way to do this. Here's two quotes from from people about Freedom Session. So Lauren Shepherd, former TV producer, 100 Huntley Street. Freedom Session helps every Christian cooperate with the Holy Spirit to get to those hidden places in our lives that need to be redeemed and cleansed so that the fruit and gifts of the Spirit can freely operate in our lives. I can personally see Freedom Session benefiting many, many people in the body of Christ. Another quote from Mark Clark, author, lead pastor, Village Church. I've watched Freedom Session transform hundreds of people's lives with my own eyes, making them freer, authentic, and leaps and bounds more mature in Jesus. I'll always remember the first time I met someone who had gone through Freedom Session. As she shared her story with me, I walked away and said, the way she came out of that is just radically different than others I've seen. This thing is different. We've been exposed to the gospel, and it makes us different. And this ministry in the fall, we want to invite you to. We want to invite the whole church to consider if God's calling you in different ways, whether it's to come and explore Christianity in Alpha, or bring someone to explore Christianity in Alpha. It's not something for someone who says, yeah, I already have a personal relationship with Christ. I know him. We want to direct you to either using that as a connecting point with neighbors or friends or family members, or Freedom Session as a chance to really let the gospel sink in deeper. And it's like radiation therapy for someone who's dealing with cancer. Cancer, and I think many of us have, some of us have experienced this personally. Many of us have had someone affected. Pretty much all of us have probably had someone affected by cancer. Cancer is unhealthy cells formed in the body that replicate and ultimately produce death in us. And what happens in radiation therapy is there's an exposure to great power through the x-rays to kill these dead cells, this misaligned, misinformed cells that would replicate. It's a good picture of what the gospel does in us. The gospel, except it doesn't kill the good cells. It deals with what's not healthy in us. So the gospel sets us free. So this is what we're inviting you to in the fall. As for me, may this be for each of us. May I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Let's pray. God, it's a big message. It's hard to grasp, but your gospel changes us from the inside out. Your gospel changes us from the inside out, Lord. Forgive us for ways that we have not adored you. You are the God of creation. Thank you for how this weather just reflects what all of who you are and just the enjoyment of creation. Yeah, with this book, this letter, we say thank you. Thank you for the power that's been exposed. And may you be honored and blessed in our lives. And we pray that, yeah, this gospel will have this power exposure place to just set us free in new ways. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what the gospel has done in our life. We joyously exalt you in what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.